everyone, and welcome to Keeping Them Safe. This is Sharon Doty, and we are here together to create an environment where all children are safe from predators. Today, I'm going to talk about some research that's been done that confirms what we're telling you. Research that reminds us all that these ways of operating by predators are consistent pretty much around the world. This research was done in Australia, and what they discovered was pretty much the very same things that we're telling you are the things to look for and the ways we can identify that are risky behaviors and will give us an access to interrupting a grooming process and protecting children. You know, we know that this grooming process includes grooming behaviors that engage the child, behaviors that engage the family, and other behaviors that engage the whole community, so that everyone is looking through a set of eyes that make the behavior okay. And that places children at a higher risk. Once again, we're reminded that 89% of the people that molest our children are those known and trusted by the children and by us. My name is Sharon Doty, and I have a commitment to eradicate child sexual abuse from the planet. Pretty big intention. Pretty much got my entire focus of my life on it. And an intention I can't fulfill without your partnership. So what do we want to know? What do we want to confirm? What is it that we want to look at to see if what we're up to can actually make a difference? Well, in the study that was done in Australia, the predators were asked a number of questions, and these are convicted offenders. And they were asked questions about, again, how did you do what you do? What are the strategies you used to secure relationships with children, to seduce children, and to engage the community in such a way that they did not look at what you were doing as inappropriate? So I want to just go through these and remind us that these are the things we've actually begun to be looking at. I'm going to look at these questions and the answers and begin to see that these are the very things that we as adults see in the interactions of between other adults in our environment and our children. And sometimes we let it go. Sometimes we let that concern we have dissipate because we know the person, because they are a friend of ours, child or brother, or because we've seen them in other places doing similar things. These are key factors for us to consider and key factors for us to keep in mind when we notice these behaviors. So the first question that gets answered in this study is, what are the most common ways that predators structure time with the child? Well, the first one, number one on their hit parade, was volunteering to spend time with the child with the knowledge of the parents, the wife, the girlfriend, the boyfriend, the grandparents. Now, that is that person who always wants to be alone with children and who prefers being with children and who is cultivating a relationship with you and me that allows them time alone with that child because they're stepping in and getting up underneath us when we are at risk. I saw a story on the morning news today about the stress level of parenting and parenting burnout. This predator is doing this, the one who's volunteering to spend time with the child with the knowledge of the parents, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, grandparents. That person is speaking right to that level of burnout that parents are currently experiencing in our environment. Another of the most common ways is they watch television with the child. They watch shows the child is interested in watching. Another thing they do is they let the child sleep in the same bed on overnight visits. Interesting, right? Sometimes they'll put the child to sleep and then they will sleep along with. So they'll read a book to them or offer to just lay down with them until they go to sleep because they're in a strange place or a strange bed. That's one of the ways that they actually do structure time alone with a child. It's important for us to notice that. It's important for us to say no to that. It's important for us to tell our children that that's not okay. Another common way that they've structured time with children is going for rides in the car with a child. And of course, there is that particular aspect that we've talked about a number of times before of offering to assist parents and caregivers with rides to activities or events. I'm going to soccer anyway, I can take the kids every time. I'm going here, I'll be happy to take your child. It's okay if they ride with me. It's okay if they ride with my kids. Those are the most common ways that predators reported that they went to structure time with kids. Now, their most common strategies that they use to groom parents, number one is making friends with them, creating a relationship such that they are trusted. They spend time with the child while the caregiver or the parents are present. They spend time with children right in front of the parents. They help the parents with transportation, with projects around the house, with activities. These are their strategies for grooming parents. Now, how do they cultivate this trust with a child? First of all, they spend a lot of time with the child. We've said this before, but I don't think people really grasp the patience that a predator is willing to exhibit. They often don't attempt any sexual contact with a child for several months or even a year. If this is a child that they are nurturing a relationship with to actually create a sexual interaction with, they will take their time. They will bring a level of patience we can hardly even imagine. Another way that they develop that trust is they give that child a lot of attention. We've talked about the fact that they give gifts without permission, that they side with the child on issues where the child is upset with parents. They give children a lot of attention, attention that children are hungry for, attention that parents might even object to. They also touch them non-sexually. Pat them on the back, give them a hug, pat them on the head. Keep touching them in ways that appear to be non-sexual, even wrestling, tickling, things like that. And they say nice things about the child. Nice things like they look for things to compliment the child about. Could be a skirt they're wearing, pair of shoes they've got on, the way they've got their hair cut. They may not even like it, but they will compliment the child on something they think matters to the child. And then, as is always the case, doing things with the child that the child wants to do. Predators are more than willing to let their own desires for activities go by the wayside in order to create a relationship with children, in order to develop trust with children, in order to gain access to that world that gives them the opportunity to molest our children. There is another piece of this that we haven't spoken about before, but it is very prevalent. Present and very evident in the actions of predators, and we're going to talk about it more in a later episode. But in this study, Another inquiry was, what are the most common strategies that predators use to get a child to go with them to another location, a secluded location, an isolated location where the sexual contact took place? Number one is promising rewards and privileges. Kids want rewards and privileges, don't you? They want them. You get surprised that your kids went along with something in order to get a reward or a privilege. Why? You do. I do. They also tell the child repeatedly that they can be trusted. And their experience with that person over time is that they can be, because that's the groundwork that's been laid. Another strategy that they've used that has been extremely successful is defending the child against bullies. Children are alone in that world, and they very often don't tell their parents that they're experiencing being bullied. But another adult, sometimes they will, and this person uses that to actually get them to trust them. And then to go someplace with them that they normally wouldn't go. They also tell the children that they're off to do something fun and that the parents have given permission. And then one that we have spoken about many, many times, they give children gifts, money, toys, sweets, something the child wants, a new computer, a phone. Access to a video game that parents won't let them play. They give children those kinds of accesses, and mostly in an effort to separate them physically from the child, from the parent. Now, there are two other significant findings in this study. That are important for us to know. There were 323 perpetrators participating in the program, and more than half of them, actually more than 55% of them, also indicated that they were victims of child sexual abuse themselves. Most of them reported the abuse at some point, and most of them did receive some therapeutic counseling after disclosing. We've not had many statistics on this issue. We've known that many offenders were also molested, but we've also known that everybody who got molested doesn't become an offender, that it's a pretty small percentage. However, one of the things this study did tell us is that the intervention that they were getting as child victims was not as an effective in interrupting their own sexually deviant behavior with children. Now, the unfortunate thing about that is that there are therapeutic interventions that can be used with teenagers and young people that are acting out. Young people that are actually committing these offenses or beginning to interact with children in an unhealthy and inappropriate way sexually. There are interventions and therapies that we can use with them that actually work. So it would be a good idea for the world of our professional intervention and therapeutic community to begin to look at what is it about those interventions that if they applied them in an appropriate way to working with victims, with children who've been abused, could actually mitigate any of that long-term consequence that might turn them in a direction where they were molesting other children. Now, the second thing that was a really startling fact for most of us is that more than 20% of the offenders, more than 20% of the perpetrators said that the parents of their victims were aware of the sexual contact with the children and never reported to law enforcement. Now, when we look at studies on adult survivors of clergy sexual abuse and adult survivors of child sexual abuse, that's also the case with many of them. See, the tendency of parents to hush up these offenses is something we've got to emphasize in every conversation we have. We have to speak up and speak out when abuse is disclosed, and we have to get up underneath all the adults we interact with so that they understand that speaking up and speaking out protects children. Otherwise, we're protecting predators. One of the people that I trained years ago in a program I built for a denomination in the United States spoke about a person who was part of one of their sessions. And that person came and spoke to them after the session and said, "After hearing what you have to say, I'm afraid that my child has been molested." And this parent wanted to know how to have that conversation with her child to open that door and get them to confide in her. The facilitator of that program spoke with her, gave her some suggestions. They talked about how to open the door to that conversation, how to have an open-ended question so the child had some room to speak without being accused or being in trouble. A couple of weeks later, the leader of the program was at home, and the doorbell rang, and she answered the front door, and it was the woman who'd spoken to her at the session, and she said to her, "I wanted to thank you for the advice you gave me. I went home, I had a great conversation with my daughter, and I found out that she'd been molested by my brother-in-law." And the facilitator said to you, "Did you report him?" And she said, "Oh, no. Oh, heavens, no. It was my sister's husband. I couldn't report him. I did go talk to him. I did get him to admit that he had done it. I did get him to admit that it was wrong and that he would now go to church and go to confession and he would never touch my daughter again. But I couldn't report him." That's what we have to interrupt. Yes, you can report him. And yes, you must report him, because protecting your child is not the only game we're in. We're here to protect all children. The message we share in keeping them safe is completely reinforced by this study from Australia. One of the things that this study reminds us of is that there are specific actions that we can take, specific things that we can turn our attention to or take note of. One of the ways they secure a trusting relationship with child victims is defending them against bullies. We can all pay attention to that. We can make sure that as parents and other responsible adults, we step in to assure the child that this support is broad-based. It's not just one person. And what that does is remind them that we are their protector. We are the child's protector. Nobody else should be able to take on that role. We should not give away that role of being our child's protector. And stepping in when they are at risk is one of the ways we can make sure that happens. You know, another way is to pay attention to activities such as watching television, video games, and solo activities. Make sure that there are other people participating, and if the activities are closely being monitored by responsible adults, pay attention if there's one person who's always sitting with your child watching a television show or playing a game with them or engaged with them in an activity. The person in your skin bag, the one sitting in your chair or riding in your car right now, we are the gatekeepers of the safe environments we promote. We want to use what we learn from predators to be more diligent, to increase the level of diligence in our efforts to ensure that all our environments, every single environment that we participate in, engage with, be part of, is safe for children. Joining me today, I wish you the best in your efforts to keep them safe. Protecting children is our job. Protecting children is our mission, and eradicating child sexual abuse from the planet is what my life is for. Thanks for being with us. This is Sharon Doty, reminding you that together we can keep them safe.